Let us then turn on the back of our bulletins to read together our Confession of Faith, continuing in the Belgic Confession of Faith, Article 2, looking at the means by which God is made known to us. So let us read together our Confession of Faith. We know Him by two means. First, by the creation, preservation, and government of the universe, which is before our eyes as a most elegant book, wherein all creatures, great and small, are so many characters leading us to see clearly the invisible things of God, even His everlasting power and divinity, as the Apostle Paul says. All which things are sufficient to convince men and leave them without excuse. Second, He makes Himself more clearly and fully known to us by His holy and divine word, that is to say, as far as is necessary for us to know in this life, to His glory and our salvation. And so, brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, we look at how God makes Himself known to us. And we have to understand that if God didn't make Himself known to us, we would not understand, we would not know. But God has two methods by which He makes Himself known to us. First, by creation, and second, He makes Himself clearly and fully known to us by His holy and divine word. But as we think about creation, we have to understand that before the fall, creation was adequate for man to see and to know that there is a God, and to know that it shows His invisible attributes, as we quote there in Romans 1 verse 20. That this world does not just demonstrate to us general things about God. We do call this world general revelation because it is to everyone. And by the way, one of the things that we have to understand is as we look at this world, all nations, all peoples across this whole world have come to an idea that there is a God. I'm sorry, when you look from the cells in the piece of wood in the bench in front of you, you can go down to the lowest level that we have breached as human beings, all of the way to the universe and the stars. And last week we had the eclipse, which as we think about that, mankind says, yeah, we've been able to predict eclipses for centuries, right? For millennia. Well, why can we predict eclipses? Because this universe works according to orderly things. It is not the disorder that our culture tells us. In fact, it is foolishness. It is crazy to say that there is no God. It's like saying, if you find, what is it, the iPhone 45 nowadays? I forget. Sitting out in a field. And saying, man, that's a mighty nice rock. Is that a nice rock? No. It had a creator. It has design. It has purpose. And as we look at this world, it is not purposeless, as our culture tells us. And in fact, we as human beings are here for the purpose of glorifying God. And guess what? Even human beings without the written word of God come to that idea. They come to some very crazy ideas, but they come to that idea. The universe is creation, preservation, and government of the universe. And that this world continues is absolutely unfathomable from a human perspective. As you listen to the world around us, when they without God say, oh, that it's very dangerous if we push this world one way or the other. It's going to fall apart. Because if they look at the world and they understand that there are many things that are on the very small areas where life can exist on this world. But when they don't understand that God has created it and God is the one who's going to destroy it, that God is upholding it, then mankind says, wow, we've got to hold on to this. Well, we can trust our God. We can rely on Him. These facts, His government, as we think about the celestial beings, as we think about the eclipse, but also within the laws of nature, God is running those things. It is before our eyes as a most elegant book, wherein all creatures, great and small, are as so many characters, leading us clearly to see the invisible things of God. Now, as we said, as Christians, we look at it and we say, isn't this obvious? But we have to understand that in the fall, we lost that ability. We talk about that as the noetic effects of sin. Our minds, our knowledge, our brains are broken so that we do not understand looking at this world. But all which things are sufficient to convince men and leave them without excuse. We have to understand that the fact of the world, despite the fact that we cannot now, following the fall, see as well the invisible attributes of God in it, they are clearly there. And so the fault is not God's, the fault is man, because we, by willful sin, Adam and Eve deprived themselves and all of their posterity of the ability to see and to keep God's commandments. And so this world is sufficient to make mankind without excuse before God. But we need more than that in our fallen estate. And so He makes Himself more clearly and fully known to us by His holy and divine Word. We have in God's Word not perhaps everything that we might want to know. We have in God's holy and divine Word what it says there, as far as it is necessary for us to know in this life to His glory and our salvation. There have been many attempts historically. If you read some of the apocryphal literature from the early centuries, to try to know things and say things about Jesus that were not true, but filled in gaps that human beings wanted to answer. There are many infancy gospels running around, and they're poppycock. But we have to know, people want to know these things. If you remember not long ago, I forget which movie house made something about Jesus' younger years. It was based on one of these lying gospels from the early years. Apocryphal means that they're not true. They're false. And so God's Word gives us what we need to do two things, to His glory and to our salvation. John writes it this way in his gospel. He says that if the things of that Jesus did while He was on earth were written down, the world couldn't contain the books. But these are written down that you know may know that Jesus is in the Christ, and that believing on Him you may have life in His name. What do we need in the Bible? God gives us what we need, not often what we want as human beings. God gives us to show us what we have in salvation, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And God gives us, honestly, far more than we might understand that we need. But he gives to us what we need as we read through that. And I commend to you that we have been reading through. Do I need to print out some more Bible reading schedules? I probably do. I don't have to start where at the beginning. Any time is a good opportunity to start, to be in that Word of God. And by the way, it might be a little difficult, but perhaps if you're not a person who likes to read as well, to get in on audio and listen to it. I mean, these cell phone things, you know, that iPhone you found in the field. Somebody called a rock. You can listen to stuff so easily on them. And be in the Word to know how awesome our God is. And so as we consider how God makes himself clear to us and reveals himself to us, this world is a great starting place, but many people have made much more of this world than our broken minds can understand. We have to be careful about that. When our understanding of this world and Scripture conflict, guess which is wrong? Our understanding. And so when we start hearing people saying, well, we've got to fit the first chapters of the Bible into the evolutionary history that the world tells us is true, I'm sorry. They're wrong. We need to be able to say that. If we can't understand the first chapter of the Bible and believe that God wrote that down, then why do we believe about Jesus' death and satisfaction on the cross? I have to see that that's the same way of reading things. So we have to see that God says what he means what he says in Scripture, and our understanding of this world, it is beautiful, it is awesome. We're going to sing in a couple of minutes one of, honestly, my favorite songs, "This Is My Father's World." And we have to know that this world speaks to us of who God is and how glorious he is. But brothers and sisters, as we read that elegant book of this world, we have to understand that God's word speaks to us clearly. One of the perfections of Scripture is the clarity, the perspicuity of Scripture. And we rejoice in the fact, yes, while this world may be more difficult to understand, and God's word sometimes can be harder, but we read the clear sections of Scripture to understand the harder sections, to understand what God is saying to us.